You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome in again, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Mark Sheldon. And, oh, Mark, where do we start this week? I feel like we've been here before, but it's nine in a row now that this team has dropped something like 15 of their last 18. It's not pretty what's going on. And then you can throw in, the Billy Hamilton, Marlon Byrd being traded. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, right now they're just trying to avoid the season-longest losing streak, which would be if they lose one more on Monday night in Detroit. So they're trying to avoid a 10-game losing streak. Now they've lost nine twice this season. That's hard to do. And right now they're last place. They haven't been in last place this late in the season for several years. I think going back to 2008. So they're just really trying to avoid a lot of infamous type of numbers and trying to find a way to get right and finish these last 5-6 weeks on a somewhat of a high note if they can. There's just really not much really good happening right now.
Yeah, honest to goodness, Mark, I didn't remember. I don't know how I already forgot this. This is a Reds team, and this is just going to be a little bit silly, but it's a Reds team that led this division by 2.5 games at one point this year. Right, it started
to. Seems like a long time ago, Dave. Yeah, but things have changed a lot. Obviously, the Cardinals, Cubs, Pirates are the best in the National League, and they're all in one division, and it didn't take very long for them to leave the Reds in the dust. And now the Reds have a tough schedule ahead. They really don't play a lot of sub-500 teams the rest of the way, except for the Brewers. They got, I think, three series left with the Brewers. But other than that, they're going to be playing some good teams, and they'll have a chance to, I guess, in a way, influence the races. But that's going to be tough on their record. They're going to be really struggling to get things together. They have an all-rookie rotation from here until the end of the season. They have a couple guys missing because of injury, and they have a traded veteran. So it's going to be very tough.
Yeah, so, we talked a lot pre-trade deadline and then right after the trade deadline about the moves this team made and the fact that they're shooting again for 2017. That's the year that we're hoping that the Reds are back in the mix again. And so, as a result, it's kind of a halfway situation, right? And these, to me, are the dangerous ones because you didn't just fully blow it up and rebuild. You didn't stockpile and just decide to head down the heck with it, we're going to go for it. We're somewhere in the middle. And when it starts to really unravel, as it has this last week plus, my concern is, as a fan, what's the effect or the collateral effect on the guys who are still in the clubhouse, the guys who are still supposed to be the core of this team? It cannot be easy for the Vados and the Todd Fraziers, et cetera.
It's not easy, but the best they can do, and Joey Votto has said this on a couple occasions, that he owes it to the employer, in this case the Reds, to do the best effort he can every day. And he's actually one of the guys that's hitting very well during this real rough stretch. He's doing fine. Todd Frazier has struggled for most of the second half, except for a couple of games here and there. Jay Bruce, his production's MIA. He's hitting close for the last 3 or 4 weeks, so it's not good. The only good thing is that can be said is that people that didn't normally get to play are getting a chance to be seen, or guys that weren't around last year, like Anthony DeSclafani is having a fine year. Eugenio Suarez has taken full advantage of the opportunity presented to him by the injury to Zach Cozart to really show that he belongs here. And that's what the rest of the season's about, is to seeing what they have for next year. For guys that are individuals that are going to be back next year to establish good quality numbers to build off of for next year. And that's what this is about right now. This is about finishing strong, not mailing it in, and not kicking the ball around and just doing a solid job.
Was there much of a reaction to the Marlon Byrd deal? I mean, here's a guy, we've talked about him a lot. I mean, it just didn't happen, right? And I kept thinking, he'll find it. He'll get back on track. It just never really happened for him. Did fans, I don't suppose they got that attached to him.
No, there was no real verklempness, I guess, for the lack of a word, or I just made up a word probably. But the Johnny Cueto was obviously a trade that shook the fan base a little bit. Marlon Byrd not so much, but what the Reds did though is they moved a veteran that they were gonna have to pay a pretty good amount of salary to the rest of the year. Plus he was flirting with reaching a threshold. He probably wasn't gonna reach his option vesting with the plate appearances, but you never know. And they got a reliever with an arm they're pretty happy with, and Steven Johnson. He's a Double-A guy. So it's kind of continuing what they've been doing since the winter, which is they've been moving the veterans they no longer can afford or want to afford and trying to make good trades to get people back. And so far, the deals have really been pretty good. It doesn't show in the results on the overall record, but trading Latos and Simon in the winter, getting Suarez and DeSclafani, and then the guys they traded for Cueto. John Lamb has been pretty impressive so far, and there's hope for the other two guys to be pretty strong. And they got the Giants' number one prospect for Leak, and now they got this Steven Johnson dude from the Giants as well. So this is what these deals bring, and they're hoping they can be the building blocks towards 2016, 2017, 2018.
Yeah, you mentioned Jay Bruce earlier and the struggles this year. What's going on there? Is there any sense at all what's happening with Jay Bruce?
This has been pretty much his career. There's weeks where he can hit anything, and the ball just seems gigantic, and he can do it all. And like he had that stretch kind of after the All-Star break for about 2 or 3 weeks where he was just really hitting everything. And then he can fall into these real depths of a struggle that confound where he just expands his strike zone. He chases a lot of stuff. He just doesn't hit. And there is no explanation other than the fact that he says he doesn't change his approach. He tries to keep it even. He tries to do the same thing when he's in a hitting streak as when he's in a slump. But this is what he's been like since he's been here since 2008. He can be on really high, and he can be really low.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about a real positive. And you talked about, or you mentioned anyway, this all-rookie rotation, which is kind of at the very least, it's a curiosity. It's something unique to see. But Iglesias, with the 13 strikeouts of the Diamondbacks the other day, that conjures a Gary Nolan mention going way back to the 60s and Nolan striking out 15 Giants. But that's a special day. And when you talk about guys getting an opportunity, sometimes that really can bear fruit. And if this is what you're going to get from Iglesias going forward, certainly everyone will forget the struggles of this year as this franchise moves forward.
Yeah, I mean, Iglesias is someone they were high on when they got him out of when he defected from Cuba and became a free agent. They were hoping and projecting him to be a starter. They thought he had the tools, even though he was seen by most other clubs as a reliever. And he can do this. He's someone who's been very hard, worked very hard to try to get better. He's was not happy with some of his other performances, and he tried to watch what other people were doing and kind of put that into his game. So it's been an encouraging thing. He's going to hit an innings limit at some point where if he didn't pitch at all last year, they got to be careful with him. But this has been a nice run for him. And it's kind of like next year they're going to be Homer Bailey and four young guys most likely in that rotation. And who those four young guys, it's hard to say for sure because there's so many of them. But you got to think Iglesias is definitely making a run to be one of them.
Well, yeah, he's shown the stuff, but as we all know, it's all about that consistency, right? The whole, circling back to the Jay Bruce conversation. But anyway, there's a lot of baseball still left to be played. I don't know if that's good news or bad news sometimes, but enjoy a couple more days at home before another trip in the Central Division. Thanks for the time, Mark.
All right, Dave. Have a good one.
Okay, there he goes. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.